So I'd like to thank the people who did the main parts of the Passion. And just point out a slight inconsistency. You know, that the proclamation of the gospel is supposed to be the prerogative of ordained clergy. And it's interesting, on one of the most important days of the year, it's given to lay people. If one cannot preach, well, is consistency really the hobgoblin of small minds? I don't know. The Gospel of Mark is unique in that the only person, the only human being who properly identifies Jesus as this person sent by God is a pagan. None of Jesus' disciples, as Mark sets this thing up, recognize. And they're all totally messed up in their heads, in their sense of who Jesus is. But secondly, Mark only has Jesus properly recognized when he's dead, when he's hanging on the cross. That and that alone is the real Messiah, is the real Christ. And scholars offer all kinds of suggestions as to why Mark did it that way. Everybody agrees that that's exactly the way Mark planned and programmed his whole gospel. And the assumption in general is that because, just as in Mark's church around the year 70, people were happy to buy some, you know, triumphant Messiah, but not too interested in a Messiah who gets killed for his trouble. Okay. The last few times we talk about the wilderness for a while. The wilderness. I think the readings and the whole liturgy for today offers yet another aspect of understanding wilderness. It'd be interesting if you were an extraterrestrial and could understand English in our case and saw this really extraordinary event. You know, we start outside talking about Jesus as winning, Jesus as the Messiah, Jesus as the King, and we walk around and we sing this triumphant song. Then 10 minutes later, we get him killed. Extraordinary. I mean, either these people are irrational, or something very strange is going on. And I'd like to suggest, among all kinds of possible meanings, that this might suggest another meaning for the sense of wilderness. I tried to say something about Jesus' own wilderness, and he certainly had his own, just like we all do. So we have a wilderness too in the face of this. Namely, this terrible ambiguity, this terrible ambivalence. The wilderness means disorientation, confusion, incoherence, non-cohesiveness of the world. And those are some of the meanings of wilderness. Then we fit the bill very nicely, I think. I do. I want to say, yeah, I'm all for Jesus. Jesus is my main man. Jesus is the model for my existence. You know, I'm really into Jesus, big time. And then I bugger off. If that's not an example of incoherence, wilderness, a new kind of wilderness, and I don't know what it is, but I know in my own life, basically, I can wax very enthusiastic about Jesus as the man open to everybody. Jesus is a man universally aware of the world he lives in, universally available to that world, to everyone in that world, everyone, especially the ones that nobody else pays attention to. That's where my man Jesus is. And that's where I can be all enthusiasm. And then when it comes to playing out that, it doesn't work very often. It simply doesn't work. I'm not willing to pay the price. And it is my cowardice, I think, basically, my incapacity to keep promises. It creates yet another kind of wilderness. The wilderness of this terrible personal incoherence, which is, we can use the theological words to call sin. A betrayal of my humanity. Betrayal of what I say I believe it is to be a human being. To be a creature of God who's called me to be as Jesus was. So, I'm finding out over the course of Lent, and I hope it has been useful for you too, that this business of wilderness is like gratitude, one of the extraordinarily rich veins, religious, personal veins, to be mined over and over, to return to over and over, to find out where I really am in my life.